Take the suggestion that I got after we were zoicha to Baruch Hashem finish our bitachon after probably a couple of years, I'm not sure how long it was, to go back and review the third perek of Shaar HaBitachon as what's perhaps the core perek, the most fundamental perek where the whole Torah of the Chovos HaLevavos is laid out. It'll be repetition. We do repetition. But I think that it'll be helpful after all the discussions we've had to go back and see again the where he mamish lays out the Yesodus in a very fundamental way. So that's what we're going to do now, Be'ezus Hashem. Go back to Perek Gimel in Shaar HaBitachon and learn that. And that also gives us probably a good another couple of months before we decide what our next step is. Okay. So Perek Shlishi, and here he's going to be laying down. He starts by laying down what are the things you have to have in place in order to achieve true bitachon. The one thing that I'll preface, which is back from the first perek, or perhaps even from the psicha, I think it's from the psicha, is that bitachon is not merely a crutch, which is how sometimes people tend to think of it. When I'm facing a tough matziv, I want to learn bitachon in order to be able to get through it more comfortably. First, that is an added benefit of bitachon. But first and foremost, bitachon is an expectation. It's an expected dynamic in your relationship with Hashem, which means that it has to come against the backdrop of a general relationship with Hashem. You can't dive straight to bitachon if you don't really know Hashem and haven't had much experience with him in your life. But that's the understanding. First and foremost, bitachon is actually an expectation as a loyal. In order to loyally be in your place in the relationship, you should be trusting that Hashem is taking care of you, relying on Him. Now, like we said, you have to have certain awarenesses in place in order to do that. And here's where we'll start this parak. What page is it in the English, the parak
Shlishi? 372.
372 in the English edition.
The fell line.
Shkoyach. Tzach, ha-akdomes asher b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b- five things that you have to have in place in order to get to true bitachon. Achas mehen, one of them is she'ya'amin li'yisbarer etzloi. You have to have truly internalized hiskabtus hashiva inyanim belikim. Internalize the seven premises of bitachon, meaning we have five premises of bitachon. The first one is internalizing the seven premises, meaning there's a package. We'll put it a little differently. There's a package of 7 points, which we really discussed in the previous paragraph. He's going to review them now. There's a package of 7 points that are mamish the cornerstone of bitachon. And this we might say, if you just want to do one piece in Shara bitachon, it's this. These are 7 points which we all already know. Just the beauty of what the Chofetz Chaim is doing is, he's coming and saying, don't you already know this? And isn't this already old news? And isn't that old news? If you just bring them all together and focus on them, bitachon almost follows automatically. So let's see. So number one is internalize these 7 points. That you need to have in mind in order to really truly rely on someone. We've already discussed them based on Psukim. He reiterates them. Now we're not going to get into now. We discussed back at the time. If you view them in that parak and then viewers review in this parak, there are maybe different nuances. But right now, let's just go through them in a basic way. Premise number one is Harisha. Shabbore. Now here we have to translate the word merachim more broadly. It doesn't just mean has mercy on you, it means cares for you. We add to that, loves you. That's really what we saw when he developed it more expansively in the previous paragraph. Number one is to know that Hashem loves you and cares for you more than anyone else. V'chemla, shiyu olav. And here he adds a very powerful point. Any care or love that you've ever experienced from someone, be it a parent, spouse, whatever it is, if you've ever experienced love in your life, appreciate that. Kulam, they are just trickles of Hashem's love for you coming through that person. Question.
Yeah. So is this unconditional love? In other words, could Hashem ever hate you because you did the wrong thing? Could people who do bad things to you be also messengers from Hashem? You know, like the
Okay, so
opposite
let's
side?
differentiate between the two questions. Hashem doesn't hate his people. He does hate certain behaviors. If a person is doing behaviors that Hashem hates, it creates a distance. But on the contrary, I think I've told you once. I was one time in at a I was one time at a simcha. I started schmoozing with the mashgiach there because the hashgacha itself I didn't rely on, and I wanted to talk to the mashgiach just to see if I could hear from him something, some more specifics. I wanted to get it. Whatever it is, we became pals. Then at one point, the mashgiach was talking to the bartender, completely distant Jew with a clean-shaven head, and the whole real look. And they both called to me. It's like the real Sephardi Israelis with the whole tough way of talking. They'll call to me, "Bo, bo, bo." Like, "Come over, come over." They call me. I go over to them, and they say to me, as I put it, me like no prior preparation. Does Hashem like either one of us more than the other? Okay, there you have one upstanding from practicing Yid, standing next to, and they're both looking at me like with this challenging look in their eyes. I thought you were going to ask me the time.
Hashem hates an idol worshiper. He
What's
doesn't hate you because you do something that you're not supposed to do.
oh, so how do we put this down? How do we put this down? So I what I said to them was like this. I said, if a parent has two children, just to say no, both the same, that would be a little bit of a whitewash. We don't believe in that either. We believe in being nice. We don't believe in whitewashing. Some do. Rabbi Milinowitz didn't, and I'm supposed to be continuing his mahalach. Okay.
That is
So I said to them, I said, well, let me ask you this. What happens if a person has two children? One of them is doing everything he can to please the parent, and the other is doing many things to spite the parent. The parent loves both. The parent loves both. Just what? The parent is certainly going to be more pleased with one over the other. The parent may also feel closer to one of the other and maybe have a bit of a harder time relating to the other one. The parent will have an easier time just giving the first and caring for the first fully than will for the other one. Loves the other one just the same, just that the other one may be causing him pain. So I said, I don't know which of the two of you figure out between yourselves. Who, if you are you making a point of doing everything you can to please the parent according to what you know the parent wants? I don't know. I mean, maybe I could guess by looking at the way that you look, but I don't know. But that's the answer. And that's basically the answer here also. Hashem loves you unconditionally. That premise has to be there. Soon we'll see him touch on what happens if you're busy spiting him. That'll factor in later. But this is a premise that's here. And on the contrary, he's going to say later that he's going to stress that Hashem's care for you is unconditional. He's going to stress that. He's going to fit that in as a separate point. So yes, it's unconditional. But yet you can mess things up by, right, the kid, the parent tells the kid, don't climb on the counter. One kid listens and the other doesn't. So when the kid falls off the counter and gets a gash in his forehead and the parent has to take him to get stitches and it hurts, the parent says, yeah, I have to do something that hurts you now, but this wasn't what I was looking for. But there could be such a thing, but it's still coming from the parent's care. Well, let's go back to the point. We'll back up, but this is premise number one. Lamaise is premise number one. And for those of us who are simply trying to live our lives in accordance with his will, we don't have to worry about this too much. Hashem loves you and cares for you more than any love or care you've experienced. And even more than that, we're reiterating, love and care that you did experience is actually Hashem's love trickling through to you. He has stressed that elsewhere. Even a parent's care for a child, something natural. Parent can't help it, so to speak. What's that? This is Hashem saying, I'm kivyachol, it's olam hazeh. You're not necessarily going to see me here, but you're going to need to be feeling some of my love for your function. I'm going to channel it through your parents. But it's only a drop in the bucket. So that's number one. Number two is Hasheni ke'aboyre yis'ale. You know what? Maybe I'll just go through them by heart. We won't actually read through them. We read through them back in the day. We'll move through them just point by point. Number two is that Hashem knows what is best for you, better than anybody else. Mainly, the main point here is better than you do. So anything that he's doing is coming from his love and care for you. Like you say, but 1 minute, then why would he do that? Well, the answer to that is that you might have thought something else was good for you, but Hashem knows better for you what's good for you. Number three is that he can do anything he wants. Number four, we'll just go through them quickly now as bulleted points, and then we'll come back to put it all together, is that he is never distracted. He's focused on you 24/7. Number five is that nobody else can get anything in edgewise. Person can't benefit you or hurt you in any way unless Hashem said, this is what I want to happen now. Otherwise, you just can't get past Hashem's defenses. Number six is that don't worry about being deserving. Hashem doesn't need you to deserve it in order to care for you. And this kind of touches on what we discussed earlier. And number seven, here he goes on at length a little bit, but just we'll say it in more briefly, the way he put it down in the previous parak, is the understanding that Hashem, when he anything that he's doing with you, anything that he's dealing with you, all you can see is that when you're figuring out, is this good or bad for me, all you can see is a very limited range of the immediate. Call it week, 2 weeks, how much ready can you be? You're never really able to figure out, is something good for me thinking 15 years ahead? How will this impact me 15 years ahead? You're always, whatever you're doing is always pretty much, any decisions that you're making are pretty much within the range of these few weeks, these couple of months, whatever you see coming ahead in the next half a year. But understand that Hashem is dealing with your life. He has it all mapped out in front of him from the moment you were conceived until after 120. And therefore, he might be putting things in place now that I don't know why, but this is going to be very important for me when I hit 87. Or very important for me for afterwards. That also helps us understand that when things seem to be happening that I don't necessarily. So you put this together with the second point that Hashem knows better what's best for you and that he is busy now with 20 years from now, busy now with 75 years from now, busy now with 1,000 years from now in terms of your needs. So everything just takes on a different perspective. So again, the points are Hashem loves you intensely, is constantly focused on you, can do whatever he wants for you, which means that if he feels something is good for you, it will happen. There's never a question about that, because he can do whatever he wants. No one else can get anything in edgewise. I mean, no one can throw in a dart from the side. Anything that happens is because he said, I want this to happen. Again, because he cares for you and knows what's best for you. You don't need to earn it. You don't need to deserve it. This is very important when you learn Chovas HaLevavos, because otherwise, the person who doesn't learn Chovas HaLevavos could think, it's not a big concern. Why shouldn't I deserve it? And the person is learning Chovas HaLevavos, he starts becoming aware of quite how indebted he is because of his eyes. because of his a working nose, a working tongue, healthy teeth, a working digestive system, respiratory system, etc. A person starts feeling, 1 minute, what am I doing? What is my premise to think I'll still have all these things in another month? I can't pay for them. And we come to that point. Hashem doesn't need you to be deserving. He wants to care for you and give to you even without that. And that he is holding your whole life in one overall picture. So you have to internalize those points. If you remind me, Bli Neder, maybe I'll send out to the group. I actually wrote up the points in very short bulleted form. I think I once sent it out a long time ago, I'm not sure. Somebody I sent it to then set it up all graphically. So it's actually kind of pretty. And but the mice said that's point number one, is to internalize these seven. Have them clear, stark, without too much elaboration. Someone reminds me, I'll just send it out to the list. Right. See, one of the time with Hashem was that he's never distracted. But sorry. Okay, I need the reminders. Okay.
Think for seven of the Lewis said he has a track record.
What's that?
Those are his words. The Lewis said that Hashem has a track record.
Oh, I mean, you're adding to what we said that you should be looking back at your life also. Ah, very good, very good. So this is really what brings Shaar HaBchinah into the picture. Very good. It brings Shaar HaBchinah into the picture. If you see all the things that Hashem's been doing with you, okay. Okay. Now, I'm sorry. Now, so those are. That's really premise number one. Have those 7 points clear. Premise number two. The next thing you have to realize is that Hashem is watching you to see if you trust him. This brings us back to the point we started with. It's not just about you have the security of knowing. No, it's more than that. Hashem says, we have a relationship. I'm taking care of you. I want you to trust me. I want you to rely on me. Like we've discussed other times, it's a dynamic. It's like that in all human, not all, men in significant human relationships, there's an element of trust, right, between spouses. I have to trust you, you have to trust me, and one will be offended if the other is constantly not trusting. Or a different marshal, where you put it is, like, so you can go, you know, you go somewhere with your kid. So you're taking your kid for you're taking your kids on a Chol HaMoed trip. You come to the amusement park, and as you're approaching the entrance, you know, one of your kids comes running over and all nervously and says, "Mommy, it says that you have to pay. Did you bring money?" Right? And it's not just that well, if you're very nice, you just reassure the kid you have the money. But many of us will also say, "I've been here before. Who prepared your breakfast this morning? Trust me." It's even a little offensive, right? The question is a little offensive. You know, if the husband is calling wife, you know, from work at 3 in the afternoon, saying, "At 7 o'clock is supper time. Will there be something ready?" Right? You might not respond that positively. They say, "1 minute. What happened yesterday? What happened the day before? Was there food for Shabbos?" Right? So basically, this is what Hashem is telling us. It's part of the relationship. I expect it. So that's premise number two. What's that?
It's almost 1 o'clock.
We have a whole nother minute.
No.
We have a whole nother minute. Premise number three is, the truth is, this is going to require more than a minute. But premise number three, in one word for right now, and then a few more words next week, Bli Neder, is that you make Hashem your sole reliance. Now, this is something that we'll, of course, have to elaborate a little more, even though we've done it plenty. But because we do rely on doctors, on employers, on the people in our lives who are providing for us, it's Hashem, we'll elaborate on it. But the bottom line is, it's the understanding that all these people are just Hashem's means, and they are not really the cause. They're not what make, I'm sorry,
Messenger.
messengers. They're not what makes it or breaks it. This person will disappear from the scene. Then, if I'm supposed to get it, it's Hashem. Now he poured it this way, he'll pour it a different way. Okay, we'll see. It's Hashem. Thanks for the reminder. What's that? What does that mean?
Like, we also remembering all the things we did.
Oh, so this is really.